our help and our only expectation be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Let us continue this worship service, congregation, by singing Psalter 15, the stanzas 1 through 3. Psalter 15, the stanzas 1 to 3.
Oh,
Scripture reading this morning can be found in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. But first, the holy law of God. And God speak all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness, or anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thou thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against the neighbor, thou shalt not covet the neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet the neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. The scripture reading can be found in God's holy word in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory of what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered you unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that he was seen of above the 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, but because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And therefore, whether it were or they, so we preached, and so he believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ is be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because ye have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised up not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ, then not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. And then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. And then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he says, all things are put under him, is in a manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they that baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. And if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts in Ephesus, what avengeth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness, and sin not, for some have not a knowledge of God. I speak to you to your shame. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou showest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou showest not that body that shall be but bare grain. It may change of wheat or some of other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. And there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. And there is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is shown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is shown in dishonor, and it is raised in glory. It is shown in weakness, and it is raised in power. It is shown in natural body, and it is raised in spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made in a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. How by that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As the earthly such are they also, they are earthly, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of the death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as we know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So far the scripture reading. Let us pray. Lord, we are gathered together this morning, and it is thy day. And we call it Sunday, but it is the first day of the week. And we have honor thee, because thou art so worthy to be honored. O Lord, that can only be by true faith, that can only be by the Holy Spirit, that he may dwell in us and give us true conviction, give us that we see our state before thee. What is our relationship before thee, O Lord? That is so very important for time and eternity, because we are traveling to the eternity, and we are traveling to the end of life, temporary life. Because we are temporary on this earth, Lord, that we may remember it, but not only remember it, that we may know it, that we may know it by the power of thy word, that thy word may be a power of salvation in our hearts, and that it lead to true conversion, true faith in Christ, in the communion, in the communion with Christ, in the forgiveness of all our sins, and in the life everlasting, O Lord, that we may understand thy word, the meaning of thy word by the preaching of the gospel. The preaching will be weak, O Lord. It is in itself foolishness, but if we may understand what you are saying in thy word, O Lord, say it in our hearts, that we may feel it, that we may believe it, that we may come to the reality of our being, of our state on earth before thee. Lord, give true regeneration and give true justification. Give true sanctification. It is all in Christ. Nothing is outside of Christ that can stand for thee. O Lord, be with all of us. Be with the sick and the afflicted. Be with the widows and the orphans, O Lord. Be with the family abroad. O Lord, I know their circumstances, their difficulties. O Lord, that it may bring to thee, that we come for thy feet as a lost sinner. Lord, we earn eternal destruction because of our fall in Adam, and we cannot take it away, that judgment that thou hast said to Adam, because he has eaten from the forbidden tree, the fruits thereof. And Eve also did. O Lord, and we did it in them. It is our fault. But O Lord, thou have given thy Son, thy begotten Son, and that we may see him, the Lamb of God, in our place, instead of us, that he take away our sin and give us an application of that, O Lord. It is so easy to believe that with our brains, but that is not regeneration. Our heart must be renewed. Lord, do it according to thy scripture, according to thy word, because thou have given thy Son as a way to escape from eternal destruction. O Lord, that thou Spirit may dwell in us, and give us the words, and give us the understanding of thy word, and that we may glorify thy holy name, and that our souls may be saved, for Jesus' sake, and in his name alone. Amen. Beloved, the text of our preaching this morning can be found in the scripture read, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 41, where we read again, 1 Corinthians 15, the verse 41, where it says, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. And by reflecting on this, with the help of the Lord, we would like to draw your attention to the glory of the bodies themselves, as mentioned in our text, in three thoughts. First, what do we understand by the glory of the sun? Second, what do we understand by the glory of the moon? And thirdly, what do we understand by the glory of the stars? But first, let me sing Psalm 46, the stanzas 2, Psalm 46, verse 2. Yeah. Beloved, our text speaks of three kinds of glory: the glory of the sun, the glory of the moon, and the glory of the stars. And firstly, we think about the glory of the sun, for it is glorious. And in the second place, it speaks of the glory of the moon. It is glorious too, but different from the glory of the sun. And thirdly, it speaks of the glory of the stars, for they are numberless. In the grand universe, there is only one sun, and there is only one moon, but there are thousands of stars twinkling at night, and you can see it when you stand outside in the evening and at night. And that is also what Abram has to do, to go outside and to look at the heaven, to the heaven, and also will be your seed, the Lord has said, as the stars. And this is also the case in the spiritual kingdom of the Lord, for there is only the Son of Righteousness, that is Christ Jesus, and he is the light, not a star, not a little star, but he is the light of the world, the Son of Righteousness. He shines upon his people in a spiritual sense, because they are spiritual stars. And the light of the stars come from the sun, right? They are reflecting the light of the sun. Because the stars have no light of themselves, and that's the living church, you know. They have no light of themselves. But they are reflecting the light of the Son of Righteousness. When Christ is shine upon you, then you are a witness of him, because you are a light on the candlestick, the word says, you know. Not under the table, but on the candlestick. And there is also a moon in spiritual sense that points to all the earthly things. For the woman, that is the living church, called in Revelation 12, you can read it in Revelation 12, the woman, which have her feet upon the moon, you know, read it in Revelation 12. And that point to earthly things, all earthly things. She has the moon under his feet. And she has died, that means she has died to all earthly things, because she has the moon under her feet. Not upon her head, but under her feet. So there is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. That's different. The glory of the moon is temporary, for his glory is sublunary. And where does the light of the moon come from? It comes from the sun too. The light of the moon is the light of the sun at night. I say it again. The light of the moon is the light of the sun at night. But what tells the Bible about the moon? What does the word of God says about it? The moon will be changed in blood. For it says, the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord comes. Think about the last judgment day, when the Lord comes on the clouds, on the clouds of the earth. He shall come, for sure. And my beloved, I have seen so many times in my youth, when I was in my misery, spiritual, not earthly misery, but spiritual misery, that the moon became blood. not in reality, but in my mind, you know. The Lord reveals that out of His Word. The moon became blood. When I walked in my misery, that means the means of the wrath of God will be revealed over all that are not reconciled with God. That does it mean. And then I feared because I feel the wrath of God was coming and my soul was still unsaved. I was in misery, but misery is not yet regeneration.
No.
The wrath of God is coming and all the unbelievers will be destroyed with the entire world on the day of judgment, for all that which is made of dust will lose its existence in the course of time. Think about it. If you don't believe in the Son of God, you are already lost. And say it not easy, I believe, but because all the world says, I believe. You know? How do you come to that faith? How come? Can you tell me how you come to a true faith? There must be something happen in your life, or in the past, or today, you know. There must be take place a real regeneration, you know. True faith is not without regeneration. And what is regeneration? That I come from that I was a dead man and now I am a man, a living man, in Christ. So, how come? By regeneration, by justification. And that is what the Word of God teaches us. And what is regeneration? To become from a dead man to a living soul. Then your soul is saved. Then you were in the judgment, in your misery, unsaved, as somebody under the law, because we are fallen in sin in Adam. Read Genesis 3, chapter 3. And there was no living soul on earth after the deep fall in Adam. And God has seen on the earth of there any was who honored him, who honored him, but there was nobody. And then he gave a promise. The promise of all promises to Adam and Eve. The mother of all promises. Read it in Genesis 3. And that is the foundation, that is the promise of the foundation of that God has sent His Son to the earth, to the lost earth. And when it comes to true conversion, my beloved, then Christ reveals Himself in your heart by the word or by the preaching of the word. It's always by the word, by word and spirit. And what happens then, preacher? Then the word becomes powerful. You know, you feel it. You know, you are a lost man, a lost sinner, and you cry unto God, Lord, save me. Have mercy upon me. And it can be a long time, weeks, years, not saved. And then someday, if you continuing crying to the Lord, you know, you can read it in the Bible, when sinners come to the Lord Jesus, they cry to the Lord, Lord help me, Lord save me. Lord, have mercy upon me. And some Pharisees try to stop that voice of lost sinners, you know, to try stopping them. But when it is real, when you are in a real misery, then you cannot stop crying. You cannot stop it. You see to the leopard. He was not allowed to between the people. That was not allowed for a leopard. He must be thrown outside the city, you know. But he was crying. He was along the road and he was crying to the Lord Jesus. And he cannot stop crying. And then the Lord Jesus stops and he turns around. And he asks the leopard, "What do you want?" And then the great wonder happens. You know, it is also in spiritual sense, in spiritual life, that it happens in this way. First you are a lost sinner. The law convicts you. And you read the Bible. In the Bible you cannot open the Bible, or you read only judgment. Only judgment. Because you are not saved. You feel it. You have an unsaved soul. You feel it. You have not peace. Not in your mind, not in your heart. You feel it. And you see to all the people, and they can be saved. All the people can be saved. But I don't know. I'm lost. It goes in a way of judgment. You know, we have sinned. The Lord is always the same. You know, he was the same before the fall of man, and after the fall of man, and in eternity. There is no shadow of change in him. Nothing at all. Yeah. But lost sinners in our midst, look upon the Son of Righteousness. That is what John the Baptist preached. Look upon the Lamb of God. Look upon the Lord Jesus. Look upon the Son of Righteousness. All ye that have been bitten of the serpent, but because that has happened in spiritual sense, we are bitten of the serpent. And you see it when Moses was in the desert with all the flock of Israel, all the people of Israel. And a multitude of the people were disobedient, you know, to the Lord's commandments, and there came a flock of snakes by the people, and there was poison snakes, and they are dying. And then what happened? Moses was risen and a stick, and on that stick was a golden snake on the top of it, and all that people that look upon that golden snake became healthy. Because they were saved. When they looked upon the snake, they were saved. And that's also the same in spiritual sense. When we may look upon the Lord Jesus, because that was an example, that snake on the stick of Moses, that was an example that points to the Lord Jesus. They become saved. Then you have a saved soul. Now the stars who are shining at night are an image of the living church, you know. And the sun, who see you every day, you know, when it is not cloudy, you see the sun. That is an example, that is a type of Christ, the Son of Righteousness. Now God's people are the living church, only God's people. They belong to the body of Christ, and they are the stars in spiritual sense. and the stars have glory, but they have an other glory of the moon. You know, the stars are glorified by the sun, but the glorification of the moon is different from the stars, because he shineth from a lower level. You understand that? The moon is shining from a lower level than the stars. The stars shine at the firmament, and they are in a higher position than the moon. And the moon also has no light of itself, but it reflects the light of the sun too, like the stars. But the moon is a sign of sublunary things, and the stars have a higher position than the moon, and that we called heavenly distinction. Heavenly distinction. I preach about heavenly distinction. That's important to know, because yeah, everybody says sometimes on a gathering it is always the same. Yeah, stars, moon. No, it's different. You cannot say the moon is a star. Can you say that? I never heard it. Heavenly distinction. The sublunary world is subject to many waverings and insecurities. That just like the light of the moon. The moon is not full of light every day. You cannot see it. When the sun is shining, you know, then you don't see the moon. Think about it in spiritual sense. When the sun of righteousness is shining upon your heart, and you are full of Christ, you are full of heavenly things, then you see not earthly things anymore. The Lord is all in all. That is by true faith, you know. We are not angels. We are human beings, but Paul was raised in the third heaven. And then he came back and he says, I don't know if it was in my mind, or in reality, or in a vision. He was not on earth anymore. That is not a suspicious thing, you know. And not by dreams, you know. Dreams can be very evil. You know, regeneration happens not by dreams. I don't say that all dreams are evil. No. Jacob was dreaming, you know, when he must fly for Esau, you know. He was in battle and he was dreaming. You know, that is another thing. But it also happens by the word of God. Regeneration, true faith, saving faith. It also happens, that application happens by the word of God, by the preaching of the word. Yeah. So the moon has not light of itself, but he reflects the light of the sun like the stars. And the sublunary world is subject to so many waverings and insecurities, just like the light of the moon. The moon is not full of light every day. I've explained that, but half or less. So the glory of the moon will be extinguished one day, for the earth passes away with all that's on it. But he that does the will of the Lord abideth forever. And the will of God will be done by the true people of God. You can try it, but with an unsaved soul, but that will not help you, you know. That are the works of the law, you know. The works of the law cannot please God. We have to do the will of God by a true faith in Christ. So the first thing in our life and the important thing that is that we become in Christ. And then we can do, you know, it is not legalistic what I'm saying now. But there are doings by true faith, the works of faith, you know. Without faith we cannot please God. Never. Yeah. And then when we are in Christ, then we are a new creation in Christ. And they live, God's people live for the account of Christ and by His obedience. When you are in Christ, He is responsible for you. Think about it. What a great mercy that is. You know, when you are unconverted, you are responsible for yourself. But when you are in Christ, when you are a child of God, then Christ is fully responsible for you, for time and eternity. For your doings and for your misdoings. So we can then, preacher, we can then live in sin because Christ is responsible for us. No, no, no. Because you have a new heart and you will please God, you know. If you have an unconverted heart, you have a stone heart, then you will please the devil, you know. But after regeneration, you cannot live in sin anymore. That is impossible. You can fall in sin. That is possible. Look to David. But God's people cannot live in sin anymore. Their life is Christ, became Christ. And before regeneration, your life is earthly life. To please yourself, you know, to honor yourself. Look what I have done. Look this and look that. Nebuchadnezzar says, look to the city that I have built. I'm so great king. And he become almost a beast, you know. He was eating grass. Now we are, that is what Asaph says by true conviction, you know. I'm a beast by God, a great beast. But He is my Lamb, He is my God, He is my Savior, He is my Redeemer. After receiving grace, we remain totally fleshly, total fleshly, sold under sin. But then the honor comes in Jesus. That is what Paul says in Romans 7, verse 14. I am totally fleshly, sold under sin, because the law is spiritual, and I am not spiritual, I am fleshly. After true conversion? Yes, after true conversion. Not in deeds, but in the inward, in the experience of life, everything what God's child is doing, you know? The sin is dwelt in. The sin is full of sin, you know. When it comes on the weight, on the, how do you call it, weegschaal? Weight scale. When it comes in the weight scale of God, then it is all sin. Because it must be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Also the works and the prayings of the people of God. By the blood of Christ. It must be cleansed. Yeah. How come? Because God's people live still in a fleshly body. The old dead man. Do you know what I mean? The old dead man. You know,
The corpse.
Yes, the corpse. They live in a corpse, in the old dead man. He was alive under the law, alive in sin. He lives in sin, unconverted, unregenerated. That is the old man under the law. But the new man in Christ, we become a new creation. Then the old man is died. It's hard to understand, I know. But let the Lord Jesus do the work. Let him do the work. Cry to the Lord Jesus and say, I have no knowledge of this. I have no knowledge how become I a Christian. I have no knowledge of that. You can be an outwardly Christian. But we have no knowledge. Do you have done anything to your birth? You have anything? Can you anything do or help or little? Very little. On your birth? And can you say after you are on earth as a baby that you say to your mom, I helped you when you're bearing me? Can you say that? That is also the same by regeneration. You can nothing do about it. Nothing. But if you are still unconverted, you are fully responsible for your before God, when you have to appear to the judgment seat of Christ, and you are unconverted, then you have to go to the eternal destruction. Think about it. Because we are fallen. The Lord was the same and is the same. The Lord was right. The Lord was good. And still He is. From eternity to eternity. Thus the will of God will be done by the true people of God, because they are a new creation in Christ, and they live for His account, by His obedience, by putting their steps in His footprints. And they follow Him by honor and dishonor, by evil report and by good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. The Lord will provide all things. And the glory of those stars is a reflection of the glory of Christ, like the stars on the firmament give reflected light by the light of the sun. And unlike the moon is eclipsed wholly or partially, the stars are not eclipsed, because they are complete righteous and holy in Christ. You understand that? The moon can be half or a sickle, but not the stars. And there is a secret when you look at night to the heaven, to the firmament. Sometimes you see a falling star. You did ever see it? That is the devil. He is a falling star. You know, he was an angel. He was disobedient to the Lord. Many angels. Yeah. But when you are in Christ, you cannot fall anymore. You know, there is when you became a child of God, you never can become a child of the devil anymore. That is impossible. When the Lord owns you, when the Lord take you, when the Lord revive you, then you cannot return back. When you go to the narrow gate, there is no way back. There's one way. What a great mercy. What a great mercy. Because when you are in Christ, by regeneration and justification. What is justification? That is forgiveness of sins. Justification, that is that the Lord put the righteousness of Christ on your account. That is justification. And then you can stand for God by the righteousness of Christ, by His obedience. He fulfilled the law. That is His purpose when He came on earth, to honor God and to fulfill the law, because Adam led the law and disobedient the law. But Christ came to fulfill the law as the second Adam instead of His people. Think about it. Christ came to stand instead of His people. And therefore He became flesh. The Word became flesh. That is the secret of salvation. The Word became flesh. There is Christ hanging on the cross in my flesh. He has fulfilled the law in my flesh, in my body. That can only be understood by true faith. Yeah, unlike the moon is eclipsed, wholly or partly, the stars are not eclipsed. Because they are complete, righteous, and holy in Christ. That is what it means in spiritual sense. Because they belong to the Son of Righteousness as His own. Read the Catechism. Question and answer 1. Read that. That is what I am saying now. And let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. So the source of all things is God in Christ. The source of all good things, the source of salvation is God in Christ. The Son, who radiates the glow of the accomplished mediatorial work on the church, on the star, is the cause of their brilliance and glory. Christ is the cause, is the reason, is the source. Christ is our source. Because He is the fountain of life. Not I, not you. He. He is the fountain of life. He is also the fountain for all the iniquities of the house of David. You know? When John the Baptist baptized Christ, you know, he went under the water, you know. That points to the forgiveness of sins. When we are regenerated, we are baptized in His death. That means that all our sins are forgiven, from the past, from now, and in the future. That is salvation. After receiving grace, we don't have to do one step to be stand for God anymore. No. What then, preacher? We have to follow Christ in His footsteps. Because He is the way and the life. The truth. The resurrection. So the source of all good things is Christ, the Son of righteousness. And with this we have mentioned the three thoughts of our preaching, but these thoughts stand in the framework of the heavenly distinction. And we want to tell you something of this distinction in spiritual star glory. And I've said you already, but a long time ago somebody said to me in a public gathering that God's people in heaven are all equal. But we asked the gathering, is that right? And the reaction was unanimous. They said, yeah, that's right. However, God's word teaches us different things, namely heavenly distinction. There is distinction between God's people. You have little stars and you have big stars. The night star is bigger than a morning star. You understand that? That is God's people. And that is the will of God. You have babies in spiritual sense, you have young men in spiritual sense, and you have fathers in grace. You understand that? They, the fathers in grace, have more experience of faith as a baby. Now what is important? What is important? That the fathers in Christ, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a father in Christ. And he teaches Timothy, he teaches Titus. They were young men in Christ. You know, that is important. And therefore, Paul was a sheep, you know, an old sheep. And he was teaching the lambs. He was teaching the little sheep. You know, he was always busy with that, teaching. You know, he has traveled and he went along the congregations, and he was teaching and teaching and teaching. Not teaching the people of God what they have to do, but what Christ have done for them. That must be the contents of the preaching, you know, what Christ has done for his people. And what you are when you are outside of Christ, what you have done, because then the law of God, then is not Christ responsible for you, but then you are responsible in the position to the law. You know? And the law must be fulfilled, or by us or by another. Yeah. So in that gathering they said, yeah, that is all people in heaven are equal, are the same. Now we don't make the distinction, but God makes the distinction, heavenly distinction. And that heavenly distinction will consist in all the differences being to the glory of God's name, which is glorious. So there is a distinction, and our text says about this, for one star different from another star in glory. And you can see it, you know, when you look at night to the heaven, to the stars, you see the difference in light, in the strength of light. So God's word tell us, and look at the marginal notes of the Bible, that there is a difference in stars as their glory is concerned. And that gathering once said, so you are trying to tell us that one child of God is more than another. I answer it, if we consult our fleshly mind, then it should be like that, you know. For a man always tries to make a picture of everything in fleshly considerations of the heart. But when one tries to imagine the distinctive life in heaven, one is bound to get carnal negations. But then one doesn't understand that spiritual distinctions should be understood spiritually, not fleshly. And what is so sad is that certainly in such gatherings, we all want to be spiritual, but we are not. Paul says, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 7 verse 14, the law is spiritual, and when the law is spiritual, I'm not. There can be one spiritual. God is spiritual. We are not spiritual. I'm fleshly, sold under sin, under sin. And Paul means, I am not spiritual, the law is, but I thank God in Christ that He is spiritual for me and to me. And that is man's life after grace received, but a few confessing people can understand that in our days. And that was the reason that Paul says to the believers in Rome, I speak to that kind of people who understand the law of God. There is also a few people on earth who understand the law of God, spiritual, because they die to the law, by the law. They die to the law, by the law. Galatians 2 verse 19, they die to the law, by the law. Because when the law visits you one day, then sin revived. Sin revived? Yeah. When the law says you have to do that and to do this, sin revived. Because all our doings under the law is only sin, only flesh, and cannot please God. But I died, Paul says. I died. When sin revived, I died. And then the end of the law is Christ to righteousness for all those who believe. That's the secret of salvation, but it can be learned if the Holy Spirit comes in your life and teach you all these things. Yeah. You know, the first Adam, he saw he was naked after the fall. And then what was he doing? He plucked leaves from the tree and he made a shirt for him and a skirt of leaves and for his wife. He was afraid of God. And before the fall, he was not afraid of the Lord. You know, there was peace in that state of righteousness. Everyday peace. But after they had eaten from the forbidden fruit, they have no peace anymore. They were afraid of God. Yeah. And when God talked to them, Adam fears. He feared. Because he was sure that God was angry to him. And not only angry, he feels that he was under the law, that he was a dead sinner. He became a dead sinner. He lost his peace, he lost the image of God, he lost his salvation. Yeah. But that can be restored by true faith, by true regeneration, by true conversion. And then I become spiritual, forget it. When Christ stood in our place on the cross of Calvary, and when Christ has done all the things that God requires,
required.
There is no man who can do, who can add one thing to the work of Christ. It's impossible, because Christ is a complete Savior. He do everything, and he everything he does, he did. And that is the reason that Paul says to the believers in Rome, I speak to that kind of people who understand the law of God. God's people, only God's people understand the law of God. The law is holy and good, but we aren't. If there is somebody in our midst who finds himself spiritual, then the law is fleshly. It is one of another. One way or the other. Or we are fleshly, or the law is fleshly. But the law is spiritual, and I am fleshly. And I can tell you, according to the word of God, that the law is holy and we are unholy, also after grace received. We are complete holy in Christ, but not in ourselves. In order to be spiritual, we need the administration of God's Spirit. So, to receive the things of the Spirit of God, but in the mirror of the law, we remain fleshly, sold under sin. And all the glory belongs to Christ. Take away the sun. And do you see one star? One twinkling star? Impossible. And that is also in spiritual sense. Take away Christ. And God's children are not a light on the candlestick anymore. They cannot shine without Christ. First we will sing. Psalm 19, the stanzas 1 and 4. Psalm 19, the stanzas 1 and 4.
Oh,
talked to you about the glory of the sun, the glory of the stars, and the glory of the moon. But all the glory belongs to Christ, the Son of Righteousness. And in Him, we are royal priesthood. You understand that? A holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. And that is what happened by regeneration. Christ take you out. Christ take you out the darkness of sin, the darkness of our life in sin, into His marvelous light, in His beautiful kingdom. Yeah? By nature we belong to the devil. That is the prince of darkness. And we live there by our own. We are responsible for that, but we don't know anything about it. We don't feel it. So we need the Holy Spirit. And how the Holy Spirit works. He used the law of God. He used the mirror of the law. And He put that mirror before our heart. And then we see in the mirror of the law with spiritual eyes. Eyes that we are a sinner and that we dishonor God, that we dishonor His glory, that we are enemies of God. So He can weep about it, but that is not regeneration. You know, our tears cannot regenerate a soul. It's impossible. It goes with tears. Oh yeah, oh yeah. But true repentance is a fruit of faith, not a fruit of the law. True repentance. When Peter denies his master, and then the Lord Jesus looked upon him, then he go outside weeping about his sin, about grace received, new grace received. Then Peter restored in grace. And that is what we need, true repentance. But that first, in the first place, regeneration took place. Yeah. That all the glory belongs to Christ. And in Him we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should shew forth to praise of Him who has called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. So heavenly instruction is necessary to discern spiritual things in a spiritual way. Heavenly teaching, heavenly experience. Spiritual experience. Spiritual experience of faith. Not by dreams, but by the Word of God. And in order to discern spirituality, your own self must die. If we believe in Christ, our old man under the law is died with Christ on the cross. For Paul says, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live by the faith in the Son of God. Yeah, time is gone already. But the word stands forever. And would never fail. Will never fail. But that what I'm talking about, what Paul says, is that already happened in our lives, beloved. For God does this even now. When the Lord do not convert people on earth, then this world is gone. It will be gone. Because The Lord has said, I created a new heaven and a new earth. And on that earth, on that new earth, there is only justice, there is only honor, there is only peace, comfort. What is your true comfort? Say, what is your true comfort? That I am belong to Christ, that I am a child of God, that I am saved, that Christ is my King, that He is my priest, and that He is my prophet, that He is my Savior, my Redeemer, and that He is responsible for me. Because He conquered the devil, He conquered sin, He has conquered the death. Because He is the life. He don't give on not life. He is the life. You understand that? Is He your source? Is He your foundation? Is He your fountain of life? In the framework of salvation, the Holy Spirit doesn't rest until a soul knows Christ in the way of regeneration and justification, in the way of judgment. There is no regeneration without the knowledge of Christ. There is no salvation without judgment. Zion shall be redeemed by judgment. And when that takes place in our lives, Christ will be our wisdom. Christ will be our justification. Christ will be our sanctification. Read it in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. He is our Redeemer. He is the beginning of wisdom. But He is also the beginning of regeneration. Not the end. He is also the end. But He is also the beginning of spiritual life, the knowledge of Christ. Christ Himself is the beginning of spiritual life. And He is also the continuing, and He is the end, because He says, I am the beginning and the end. Without end. And if you belong to Christ by justification and regeneration, we will live forever with Him. Because what I have to do in heaven without Christ, then is heaven a hell? And when I have to go to hell with Christ, then is hell heaven? That is the experience of God's people in this life. Because I'm a hell. But Christ is my heaven. He found me on the bottom of my hell. And so He became my heaven. So, are you looking for a heaven with golden streets? Or what are you looking for? Christ is the contents of heaven. God Himself, He is all in all. And then God's people will sing through Him alone. For His own sake. Yeah. And only when a soul may know Christ as his Savior, does such a soul receive discerning knowledge of the divine truths. For sure. In all other cases outside the knowledge of Christ, our understanding is darkened, and we don't receive the things which are of the Spirit of God. We cannot understand. So cry for mercy. Cry for free grace. As a lost sin. And if you don't feel it, confess it to the Lord. Lord, I have a heart of stone. I have a mind of stone. I have a life as an enemy. Hear the gospel. Enemies will be reconciled by God. By the blood of Christ. Amen. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy word. Take away our sins by preaching and listening. because we are totally fleshly, sold under sin. But thou art our righteousness, our sanctification, our wisdom, because, O Lord, thou art all in all. And outside of thee, there is only death, there is only sin, there is only evil. But inside of thee, O Lord Jesus, there is only holiness, only righteousness, only peace, peace with God. We are justified by faith, by Christ alone. O Lord, help us this day, be with us, and take away our sin, take away our miseries, but the miseries and the cross that we received is healthy for us, because we have to follow the Lord Jesus. Draw us, O Lord Jesus, and we will follow you. Draw us, like the bride says in the Song of Songs. Without drawings, O Lord, we cannot follow, because we have no strength. We have no power in ourselves. We are so weak, O Lord. Draw us. Take us. Help us. Be a firewall around us. Be with us all the days until the end of the world. O Lord, be with them who cannot be here. Bless them, O Lord, and provide everything we need and what they need. Bless thy church around the world. Bless thy servants, thy called servants, O Lord, and real converted servants. Bless them that they may preach the truth, and that they may preach thy whole word from Genesis to until Revelation, that they may preach a Christ as our justification, as our sanctification. We have nothing to do, O Lord, but the fruits will follow. Thou hast said in thy word, the fruits will follow. We cannot see it, because if we see it, then it is no fruit anymore. We are bearing fruits in thee. Lord, be with us. Bless us. Help us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let me sing, congregation, Psalm 121. Psalm 121. And for the time, we sing only the first two verses. Psalm 21, verse 1 and 2. My eyes. May the grace of Christ the Savior and the Father's boundless love, with the Holy Spirit's favor, rest upon us from above. Amen. Amen. Text will be our thinking and our thoughts, and may the Lord bless you all. Let us finish with prayer.